Right, I'm delighted to be joined in the studio by Shane Murphy from the All Cancer House, local psychotherapist. Good afternoon, Shane, how are you?
Hey, Eric, I'm good, and yourself?
Very good, thank you, very good. Right, this week we're going to talk a little bit about self-pity.
Yeah, I suppose last week we kind of covered a lot about happiness and how important it is to be happy in life. And I suppose self-pity, I know everybody kind of thinks of the word self-pity, and as everybody's probably come across and felt self-pity at the times when they're kind of thinking in their own thoughts and poor me, and isn't it terrible when this happens to me, and why does this always happen to me? So I suppose the problem with self-pity is if it gets into, you know, an extreme in your mind, is that you really pulls you into that negative thought pattern, fixes you into the heavy burden of this always happens to me, this always goes wrong. You know, you have one of those days and you get out of bed in the morning and you stub your toe and you go, my day's gone now, and then the whole day something goes wrong. And then you get it into your mindset that this always happens to me, and why does this always happen to me? And, you know, and then I suppose it can kind of get a little bit negative then, because what happens then is you start pushing people away, because you are always saying to somebody else, oh, geez, I had a horrible, horrible day today. Everything went wrong, could go wrong. And how come it always happens to me?
And I know one or two of those people like that, and I try to avoid them at all costs, because it actually drains you.
Yeah.
It actually drains you. If you're listening to someone all the time, negative, poor me, poor me, poor me, and you know, you don't understand, that's kind of hard to take after a while, isn't it?
It is, like, and the person who's stuck in that cycle, they're stuck in that cycle and they don't see a way out. And the thing about self-pity is it doesn't sound like a major emotion when you say self-pity to people. That kind of, you know, it's not something that, even when I presented to you that we would talk about it, you probably went, okay, how are we going to talk about 20 minutes about self-pity? It is a major emotion. It is a major negative pattern that people get into. And when they're stuck in it, because it's not depression and it's not, you know, anything else that's one of the bigger words and stuff like that, it's a horrible cycle to be stuck in, because you genuinely will find fault in absolutely everything, and you'll blame yourself.
Yeah.
You're completely blaming yourself that this is happening. So could you imagine being stuck in that cycle of 24 hours a day where you're blaming yourself all the time?
But do people use it as a crutch?
Oh, don't get me wrong, completely. Like, you know, I mean, we all know drama queens and people who kind of really exaggerate it and make it out to be worse, you know. I mean, you know, they might stub their toe and next you know, by the end of the day, it's actually a broken toe. You know, the people that use it as a crutch. Like, don't get me wrong, it is a pattern, and it's both. Us Irish people do a lot of self-pity, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean? Even,
yeah.
even when I came in, you were saying about the weather yesterday, like, and I said, oh, it's supposed to rain tomorrow. You know, that's starting into the cycle, the negative cycle already, like, you know. But yeah, a lot of people use it as a crutch. It can also be used as kind of a way of, people might feel that this is their only way to actually get a conversation going with you. If you don't have something to talk about, a lot of people would end up saying, oh, you know, oh, this thing happened to me today, it's terrible, like, or something like that,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, is it something like that? You know, they'll try to be recognised, or is it, I suppose, what way would I put it? It's something they feel it's inside them, right? But it's part of their blueprint.
Yeah, exactly. It's type of their personality.
But, yeah, but it also makes them feel more important.
Yes. If you can find fault in yourself, you know, you're putting yourself down, but sometimes you could actually be putting someone else up. You know, we do, us Irish people, definitely us human beings, you know, when you see somebody else that's feeling down or feeling dejected, if you say that your day is worse, you think that you're actually making their day better.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes any sense.
Right.
So if you can actually say, oh, geez, I had a really bad day, the car broke down, and then you turn around and go, oh yeah, I had a really bad day as well, my car blew up.
You know,
I mean, you feel that you're actually, by putting yourself down, you're making the other person feel better about themselves. You know, I mean, it is something that, and as you said, there are people out there that are stuck in that cycle, and they feel that that is part of their identity as who they are. So people do struggle to let it go because they identify with it. You know, if always you are in that cycle of self-pity, and that is the only way you know, You know, I mean, it's like most things, that this is something that we kind of could learn from our childhood. You know, we're like, poor me, you know, how come they're out playing soccer and I have to do my homework?
Yeah.
Oh, poor me. So, you know, it's kind of a learned behavior and it's a learned mindset. And people will just identify with it and say that this is who I am. I'm somebody who always finds the negative in it. You know, you can actually probably, you know, be thinking, you know, being able to find the negative in everything is actually, you know, some people actually might think that's actually a good thing.
Are a lot of people looking for attention and they try to fill a hole with it?
Yeah, you know, exactly. You know what I mean? If you're not the centre of attention, maybe you always want to be the centre of attention. And if you're not actually being, you know, if you're not being the centre of attention, you have to find some way to actually make it about you. Like, I mean, it is called self-pity. Like, you know, it's all internal. It completely is constantly telling yourself that you're not worthy, you're not good enough, you can't do this, you'll never be able to achieve this. This is what's going on in your head. And then you're vocally saying things then like, you know, oh, this is terrible, what happened to me today? And we do seem to be a nation that seems to be like, you know, a match to a light when somebody starts going on about self-pity. Like, then there's the next person that goes, oh, my day was the same, you know?
Yeah, but like, is there two types of self-pity? Like, there's the self-pity that you're telling yourself you're this and you're that and you're poor me and poor that. And the other one then is looking for that centre of attention, looking for that recognition, looking to be... They're missing something, like,
yeah.
So they need to be the centre of attention. That's what they want. That's what they're craving. That's what they're looking for.
Most people that have self-pity is low self-esteem, that they don't really believe in themselves. So you're right, there's the two different ones. There's the extreme, where they're constantly telling negative things about themselves. And then there's the other person who has low self-esteem and who this is their only way that they can actually, they feel that they actually are making them the center of attention, that people recognize them. But then if they're thinking along those lines, they're actually probably thinking that they're not worthy, you know, that they're not good enough, that they can't fit in unless they're like this.
Yeah, but you know, you meet some people like that would give you the self-pity thing, and look, and you try say something, but you wouldn't understand. That's what you get back. You wouldn't understand. You're not in my shoes. And,
yeah,
you know, they're probably just digging that hole a little bit. They just don't want to come out of it for some reason.
You know what I mean? That's you're stuck in that cycle. And it's to recognise that you're actually stuck in that cycle. It's so important to actually see that being like this is actually not good for me, because it doesn't make logical sense that you would always tell yourself that you're actually not good enough and you're not able to do this, or you can't achieve, or I won't be the centre of attention if I'm not like this.
Yeah.
So if we're telling ourselves these negative things all the time, it makes us feel sad. It makes us not feel, you know, energy to get out of bed. You know, I mean, it leads to depression. You know, it's kind of one of those stop points that actually leads to it. But it's in my opinion, one of the worst things that you can do is to get into that cycle of self-pity, not believing yourself, not trusting yourself, and just... It's when you think about it, just the way I'm describing it, it actually sounds like a sad place to be in.
Yeah.
You know, that you're like, outside of the fact that some people it might seem like it's an ego thing, that they're trying to, you know, be better by saying negative things.
Yeah.
You know, it might seem like it's kind of laughable type of thing, but it's actually a horrible place to live in, that you are constantly telling yourself. And when you think about it, self-pity. So you're telling yourself pity things, the pity party, as you've probably heard in times, you know, people saying, oh, I had, you know, get away from the pity party. Why are you in the pity party and things like that? It's a horrible place to live.
Yeah. But I think, like, every one of us have some problem of some sort. Like, I read in a book someplace, if you don't have problems, you're probably not living.
Okay.
You know, like everyday stuff, and I'm only talking about small things now, like that, you know, that we, everyday stuff that you, whatever, for whatever reason, you'll come up with some kind of a problem, right? I'll sort this out. That's normal, but like, you know, that's part of everyday living, you know, and if by living, you're going to come across little things like that, little hurdles that you have to overcome. But these people obviously can't step over these hurdles.
Well, you see, I suppose the other thing about self-pity, it goes back to what we talked about. It's the fact that they can't actually express emotions and feelings. It is sometimes a kind of a protective mechanism, because they don't want to talk about their feelings and their emotions. And normal people, or people that are living a normal life, are able to express their feelings and their emotions in a natural way. So if you have a problem and something goes wrong, if it's upsetting you, you're allowed to get upset and you're allowed to cry. If someone cuts across you and you're driving, you're allowed to get angry. You're allowed to have a little bit of road rage as long as you don't chase after them. But you're allowed to feel your emotions when they happen. But when you're stuck in the cycle of self-pity, you're actually deflecting away from feeling those emotions. Like even when they're feeling that negative pattern, you know, like you described, you know, somebody that's one centre of attention, they actually think that they're actually feeling a little bit of euphoria, a little bit, oh, I'm the centre of attention. Mm. But if you're trying to be the centre of attention by saying something negative, you're not helping yourself. And that's what it comes down to. Because as you said at the start of this, you know people that are like that and you stay clear of them. So they're not actually, they actually think that they're making themselves center of attention. They might get one or two conversations with a group of people where they're saying these things. But if you're going to be known as the person who's always negative or the person who always has something going wrong with them, everything that goes wrong with John. That's terrible. Everything, you know, it's always something. I mean, could anything else happen to John now at this stage? You know what I mean? You're thinking.
Well, it is. It's much easier to talk to someone that's nice and pleasant and you'll have, a nice conversation and a bubbly. You go away from them feeling good. Whereas if you're talking to someone like that with self-pity, it pulls you into that dark hole or whatever they're in. It really draws you down.
But I mean, as you said it as well, it's tiring.
It is,
because it is like, it's like they're sucking the life out of you. Yeah. You actually come away from going, I'm wrecked. Yeah. You know, social vampire. You know that they're actually sucking. Yeah. So they're using negativity to suck the positive out of you.
Yeah.
And I mean, it is tiring, and you stay clear. So the person who's doing it is actually creating more loneliness and being alone. You know, within that, and of course, then as you can see, that's feeding into it. Oh, nobody likes me. Nobody wants to be around me.
So you're actually feeding
into what you actually are saying that's going to happen. Oh, nobody likes me, nobody wants to be around me, and of course nobody wants to be around you, so exactly what you said was going to happen happened.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
You know, but it is a horrible place to live in, you know.
So I suppose, Shane, right, we talked enough about that part of it, but what are the fixes?
Well, the extreme measures, obviously, come to talk to someone and we try and figure out where it pinpointed in, and more often than not, as something that can be traced back to your childhood, that you've carried on this mindset that this is me, this is who I am. You identify with it. Can you imagine identifying with self-pity? Mm-hmm. People identify with it. And I suppose, in general, if there's people listening to this now and say, oh, I notice that I do, things like gratitude, be thankful. Thanking people, saying, feeling happy. You know, it's like I mentioned last week. You know, we have a choice when we get up. You know, it might be lashing rain tomorrow morning, and we look out and we say it's lashing rain. What a great few days we've had. We have a choice to either feel sad about it or feel happy about it. So it's all about choice within our mind. You know, do we want to feel that negativity, or do we want to feel positive negativity? You know, things like maybe helping people. You know, you get huge gratitude, you know, if you're walking down along the street in Yall, and I know with COVID it makes it slightly different at the moment, but you see someone that needs a hand crossing the street or something, you help them cross the street. You feel gratitude, you feel a bit of bounce in yourself. So it's all about breaking these patterns. When you feel yourself slipping into that negative cycle, that negative pattern, find some joy in your life, find some happiness, find some way to connect into it. But what's really important is when you step into this positiveness, when you step into this joy, the negative things that were going wrong in your life disappear, because you're not putting the attention onto them. When you put more and more attention onto negativity, you will find negativity in life. If you put a focus on positivity, happiness, joy, you know, you actually, that comes into your life. That happens all the time.
Like whatever you focus on, really, if you really focus on something, everyone is good at something. But that's inevitably, that's the thing they focus on, and that's why they become good at it. So it is like, you know, if you want to focus on that joy, you know, or if you want to become a joyful person, focus on the joy rather than the negative thing, as you just said,
Well, I mean, everything takes work. You know, even working, living in a self-pity world and actually focusing in on the negativity, there's plenty of work and time to perfect that.
Yeah.
And it's the same with happiness and joy. But what do you get out of when you have happiness and joy and abundance of love in your life? You get that euphoria feeling, that smile that's coming across your face as I'm explaining it. Whereas if I say to you, if you focus your mind and your attention on sadness, on dejection, on shame, on all the negative feelings, if you focus your attention on those, what do you get out of it?
Yeah.
you get a constant cycle of that negative feeling. So, you know, we have a choice. Live in that circle of self-pity, self-doubt, not believing in ourselves, or the other one. And yes, for some people, it takes a bit of work, you know, coming to a psychotherapist like myself or going to someone that will actually help you change, you know, as we talked one week that, you know, a sports therapist helped you.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, whatever will help you to actually snap out of this. And, you know, a lot of people say to me around psychotherapy, oh, that's going to take years. It doesn't take years. It can literally take one or two sessions to literally just change that mindset. Like, the purpose of this is to change from a fixed mindset, fixed negative mindset, to a positive growth mindset.
And like that's I suppose that's a nice way of actually putting it. Like, no matter what age we are, really, growth, we need to be growing as a person or as a human being all the time. And we cannot stop growing, because if we stop growing, like, that's, we'll away and die. Growing our mind, that's all healthy. Like,
but of course, like, I mean, you know, I was talking to someone the other day and they said that they got a pilot license at 70. You know, it's never too late to grow. It's never too late to change. Up until the moment that we're not here, we should be constantly changing, evolving, looking for new things, reading books, you know, whatever. You know, maybe even, you know, we're not great on the phone, but there's loads of things that you can do on the phone that actually create growth.
Yeah, you just reminded me of someone else there I know as well. They bought, they're 92 or 93 years of age, and they were going to win. They bought a new car last year. That's the attitude to have, really. Like,
well, of course,
like,
it is.
Why they're not even thinking about their age or any of the negative stuff?
You know, I mean, people say to us, you know, we're in our 50s, you know, oh, you're in your 50s, you're in the downhill. No, I don't see it like that. No. I see I've another 50 years of living to go.
With a better mindset,
way better mindset than I had for the last 50 years.
Yeah.
I have a growth mindset now that I understand, I believe in, and I trust in. So my life ahead of me is absolutely fantastic. Because all the stuff that was holding you back, that you were worrying about people, the anxiety that was, and all that sort of stuff that was in my past is now in my past. It's not controlling my present. And I'm looking forward to the next 50 years of my life of growing, expanding and having fun.
And I think that is the secret of everything. Like, I'm totally convinced of it anyway, is keep growing, keep learning, keep educating yourself, keep improving yourself. And I think once you keep doing that, you're keeping yourself alive, really.
Well, I mean, I only went back to college at 42 years of age to become a psychotherapist. And here I am now as a qualified psychotherapist, practicing as a psychotherapist.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's never too late. It's never too late. 42 years of age, going back to college for 5 years. You know, I mean, I reflect back on it now and go, how did I manage that?
But like, if you do, like, I've spoken to a number of people over the years as well that like that. And it's only when you say that now that you went back so late again, like, there's lots of people that I know went back. There's something I wish I could have done this, but they actually, instead of wishing it, they went away and they did it. No matter what age they were. And you know, how trivial are, like, some people are nurses, some people are doctors. It doesn't matter. Like you said, the pilot there a while ago. You know, age shouldn't be
a number.
No,
you know what I mean?
Keep growing.
It shouldn't be define you. You know, I mean, what you decide to do in college when you come out of school at 18 years of age doesn't necessarily mean who you are when you're 50. You know, but I mean, it's only the people that can actually accept that. You know, your man at KFC, Colonel Sanders, he was 68 when he came up with the recipe.
Yeah.
So it's never too late, you know. I mean, Albert Einstein, you know, he had 999 ideas before he had the one good idea.
Yeah.
So it's never too late to change. It's never too late to find things to do. Mm-hmm. And don't be scared. Don't be scared to actually say to someone, do you know what? At the moment, I'm a mechanic. I want to be a pilot. You know, we change. That's the whole point of going from a fixed mindset to a growth mindset.
And don't let anyone ever destroy your dreams that.
Your dreams are your dreams.
Yeah.
You do whatever you want to do, because you are the most important person to you on this planet.
Yeah, exactly. Right, Shane, that's all we've got time for this week. You just wanted to let people know.
I just wanted to say that I'm available for private clients in Yall, and my mobile number is 086-8947-322. Thanks very much.
Good stuff, Shane. We won't see you next weekend, because next weekend is a bank holiday and you'll be back the following Monday again. So
yeah,
we'll
perfect.
Talk to you then. Okay.
Thanks, Eric.
Cheers, Shane.
Bye.